holidays like Father's Day and Mother's Day can be complex in the feelings that arise. The expectations, both spoken and unspoken, both internal and cultural. Some of us had or have great relationships with our fathers or a significant father figure in our lives. Some of us do not. Some messages about being a father in Western culture keep re-inscribing the rampant sexism that exists all around us. And some messages, thankfully, are encouraging men to be more in touch with a whole range of feelings and to be an active part of the parenting process, to dismantle the assumptions of the past and recreate what it means to be a father in the early part of the 21st century, to create healthy masculinity to heal and transform the toxic versions. In the mid-90s, when President Barack Obama was in law school, he wrote a book as he strove to learn more about his paternal history. In his book, Dreams from My Father, Barack Obama visits Kenya to get to know his family on his father's side. He wonders, what is a family? Is it just a genetic chain? Parents and offspring, people like me? Or is it a social construct, an economic unity, optimal for child rearing and divisions of labor? Or is it something else entirely, a store of shared memories, say, an ambit of love, a reach across the void? He continues, I could list various possibilities, but I've never arrived at a definitive answer, aware early on that giving my circumstances, such an effort was bound to fail. Instead, I drew series of circles around myself, with borders that shifted as time passed and faces changed, but that nevertheless offered the illusion of control, an inner circle where love was constant and claims unquestioned. Then a second circle, a realm of negotiated love, commitments freely chosen. And then a circle for colleagues, acquaintances, the cheerful gray-haired lady who rang up my groceries back in Chicago, until the circle finally widened to embrace a nation, or a race, or a particular moral course, and the commitments were no longer tied to a face or a name, but were actually commitments I'd made to myself. What are the circles you would create? What are the relationships, the commitments? How does the role of father in your personal history influence your current relationships and commitments? How does nature and the position of the actual sun influence them? And what, if anything, is holy in your life?
When our daughter was young, I read an editorial in Mothering magazine that had a big impact on me and my ideas about parenting. The magazine's editor, Peggy O'Mara, wrote that the real work of parenting isn't just about getting your kids signed up for soccer camps, piano lessons, or even the best schools. She suggests that much of the real work is about showing up, about giving your children the gift of being able to witness someone being human, day after day after day, year after year. And this is the hard work. This is hard work in a world of Twitter, YouTube, reality shows, and a critic in every comments section. Letting go of the critics, I offer a few lessons about being human that I learned from my father. My dad grew up in Mountain View, California, back when the peninsula was covered with orchards. He and his sister, Dean, sensed that things could be better in their little neighborhood, and they wanted to make a difference. So, like any civic-minded people, they made a plan. They formed a club called the Secret Brothers. Given that it was my dad and his sister, they thought that that was just fabulous, that no one would ever guess that they were the Secret Brothers. And they went out into the world to do good. Dean had made them capes for the occasion. Unfortunately, two older boys spotted them, proudly wearing those bright yellow capes, and they were chased home into an alley, and they hid until it was safe to go home. They never went out again as the Secret Brothers. I learned that from my dad that stories can make up the fabric of our lives, and that sharing them is a way of weaving generations together. The story of the Secret Brothers has been saved and cherished, passed down to children and cousins and grandchildren. We can hope for big things. It doesn't always work out, but it can make for a good story.
In December of 1989, my father and I packed up my new Ford Escort wagon in Massachusetts and headed west for my internship in the Sonoma area of California to finish my music therapy degree. In October of that year, prior to our departure, the World Series between the San Francisco Giants and the Oakland A's, and everyone, including Lynn, who I had not yet met, in the entire Bay Area would be interrupted by a devastating earthquake. Folks began to ask me in earnest if I was crazy for moving to California.
They've asked us that too. Yeah. That was a later question.
Yes. They asked me why I would move to California with such unpredictable danger. And what was supposed to happen in the other order was, and people ask us that now that we've arrived in New York, why would you leave California and come here with the weather? But my dad and I did drive cross country, not sure what would unfold on that trip. We had to stop a few times in bad weather underneath the overpasses to resecure the tarp that was holding things on top of the car. It was quite an adventure. Driving together, seeing the amazing grandeur of the Grand Canyon and making our way to the destination of my internship in Northern California. When he was navigating, he would say things like, "Go straight here." And I would say, "Great, I'll go forward." I wasn't yet out to him, so he didn't get the joke. A few months into my internship, though, I would come out to both my parents, and he remembered our drive and quipped, "Oh, I get it now." Coming out to one's parents can be a really scary thing to do. I was fortunate enough to have parents who turned out to be all right, who affirmed me in being my authentic self. My dad began to read more to learn about what it meant to have come out to him and to them, and rather than asking me a bunch of questions, he sought information. They both got involved with PFLAG for a while, that's Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays as it was called then. And as we approached the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising, I call to mind the thousands, perhaps millions of people whose parents were and are not so accepting, and feel a deep sense of gratitude for my parents' efforts to affirm all life.
I learned that part of being human is having a sense of wonder, that there are always things in this amazing world that are worthy of our awe, enthusiasm, curiosity, and joy. And if the world wasn't already quite wonderful enough, my father made it more so. We had an orange tree in our front yard that grew delicious, sweet, juicy fruit. And luckily, I didn't have to guess if they were ripe, because right when they were ready to pick, the word sun-kissed would appear on them. Dad told me that they grew that way. And it wasn't until years later when I found the stamp in his desk drawer that I fully understood that our tree was not as magical as it seemed, and that my father would go to serious lengths to keep magic in our lives. Naturalist and author Rachel Carson wrote, "If I had influence with the good fairy who's supposed to preside over the christening of all children, I should ask that her gift for each child in the world be a sense of wonder so indestructible that it would last throughout life. As an unfailing antidote against the boredom and disenchantment of later years. The sterile preoccupation with things that are artificial, the alienation of the source of our strength. My father showed me that even in the midst of grief, life continues, and that life is worth attending to. There are plants to water, there are birds to feed. Children need caring for. I learned that a heart that has loved deeply can break open and continue loving some more. This kind of love is one of humanity's greatest capacities. To make choices based on our emotions and our reason. It is this capacity that may help make us, that may help us to turn the world around. Along with stories, with wonder, and attending to life, I was taught that it is always good to have a sense of adventure. This love of adventure was cultivated in a variety of ways, particularly during our trips to various amusement parks. My father's career was as a mechanical engineer designing water rides, and so we have a special fondness for amusement parks. We'd find the best and biggest roller coaster in the park, wait in line, fasten our seat belts in anticipation of the thrills ahead. For those of you who are not ride enthusiasts, know that I also learned from my mom that a ride is even more fun when there's someone hanging out on the side that you can wave to as you go by. When Dad and I would get to the top of the tallest hill on the ride, just as the cars would begin the rapid descent down the track, we'd raise our hands and yell, "Yahoozie!" And I have since found that to be it's very handy to have a special word that expresses enthusiasm and adventure. It's not just saved for roller coasters. Sometimes it might even be appropriate here when an amen doesn't quite do the trick. Can I hear a Yahoozie?
Yahoozie!
Thank you. Peggy O'Mara's editorial in that parenting magazine so long ago is not just good advice for parents. It's also applicable for those of us in religious communities. The real work of a congregation is not just having committees or a nice building or meaningful worship services. The real work, what some would call holy work, is to encourage each person to show up, to be human, to stay in relationship even when we make mistakes, to allow others to see your humanity and offer gratitude for the gift of witnessing the complex beauty of those around you. So share your stories with one another. Stories of your successes, stories of things that didn't turn out so well. Allow wonder to bubble up and to cultivate a sense of awe in one another. Attend to life in all of its joys, its griefs, and hopes. Keep your sense of adventure. As we do this, we will be part of turning the world around. May it be so.